started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I've killed my share of engines in a thousand different fights. I was there at the little big horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more dying, but I ain't a marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we won with a saber and a gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I marched to the battles of the German trench.
Good morning. It is 10 a.m. and you are tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming right up, Air Cascadia is off today. Flashpoints, we'll hear Flashpoints with host Dennis Bernstein. He devotes the entire hour to the show's recent coverage on Greece. And at 11 on the radio zine, educator Itoko Garcia discusses the role of oppositional relationships in learning, the importance of grade school children developing counter-narratives to what they are presented in school, and critical thinking to move towards social justice. That sounds interesting. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. And I want to thank KBOO members for your support for community radio. If you are not a current member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
I'm a-loving the old lion, a winner without fail.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the PDX Leo Party, Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian. A birthday celebration for all you Portland Leos with special performances from Sleep of Old Dominion and the Chicharrones, Mike Crenshaw, Smoke M2D6, and many more. Again, that's the PDX Leo Party on Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian, located at 426 Southwest Washington Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 23rd Annual Clinton Division Street Fair, Saturday, July 25th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., with an after-party on Clinton Street from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. The community parade, Metamorphosis, will start at 10:45 a.m. There will also be artisan, craft, and community booths, sidewalk sales, live music, food, and more. Again, that's the 23rd Annual Clinton Division Street Fair, Saturday, July 25th, from 10 to 5 p.m., with an after-party on Clinton Street going until 9 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Today on Flashpoints, we devote the entire hour to our recent coverage on Greece. We'll start with a rebroadcast of our interview with noted filmmaker John Pilger on the last-minute betrayal of the Greek people by their own government. Then we'll be joined by Professor Harry Constantinidinas to talk about the impact of austerity on the people of Greece. And finally, we'll hear from Greg Palast on the history and impact of the euro on Greece and other countries in the region. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and we turn our attention back to Greece. And somebody who has been keeping a close eye on that situation is a good friend of this show, John Pilger, a noted award-winning filmmaker, documentarian, investigative reporter, truth teller. I like truth teller. John Pilger, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Thank you, Dennis. Very good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Let me get your overview, your sort of thumbnail sketch of what's happening here.
Well, I think Greece is important, obviously, for the Greek people because they've suffered so much. But it's important for all of us because here was a government that promoted itself and was accepted to a large degree as different, dare I say, radical, but as different, that it was going to take on these autocratic forces in Europe that have built this fortress of extreme capitalism. And I repeat that, extreme capitalism. Neoliberalism in the heart of the European Union really is an extreme version. And they were challenging that. They were saying, well, yes, we've got debts, but those debts were incurred by the super wealthy in Greece, all of them playing, being good neoliberals, if you like. And the Greek taxpayer, the ordinary Greek, did not incur these debts. And these debts, as the Greek Parliament, after an audit, described them as odious, illegitimate, and illegal. And, you know, this is where we've moved out of Victorian times. This is not debtor prison times. The country is not going to be put in prison. This is what this government, the Syriza government, campaigned on. Not only campaigned on it, but then they held a referendum less than 2 weeks ago, in which the Greek people, a majority of them, voted clearly against doing any kind of anti-austerity deal, and they've been betrayed. They've been betrayed, and lessons must be learned from this.
Talk about the betrayal. What does that betrayal look like to you? I mean, it did seem like a dramatic, profound, and troubling flip-flop at the highest levels in Greece.
Well, I don't like the word betrayal very much. It's a very emotive word, but it's there are some English words that are exactly right, and this is exactly right for this, because there's no doubt twice, both on January the 25th and a week ago last Sunday, the Greek people voted to not have this kind of draconian imposition on them, and their government, with this mandate, went in the opposite direction. They did it knowingly and they did it willfully, and that is betrayal. And you're just watching the news tonight here in London. You can see a sense of, yes, of disappointment and everything, but a sense of this betrayal. I think what people, quite a few people, were expecting the Greek government to do was to repudiate this illegal and illegitimate and odious debt, as Argentina did successfully, to get rid of it, to say, we're not paying this debt. We didn't incur these debts. People have made a lot of money out of these debts. In any case, the Greek debt is less than 30% of even what the German debt is, and they're the greatest creditors. And we're not having a kind of coup d'etat by the German by the German money chieftains. That's what this is, basically, a coup d'etat against the people of Greece, not the government of Greece, because the government of Greece has complied. And I think that people who care about this, progressive people, have to learn from it. That, as you said, there was a lot of hope for this government, but we've had enough of hope. We had Barack Obama. He had hope coming out of his ears, and it was fake. And we've got to stop this. We've got to stop accepting these kind of postmodern, and I use that term, because I think that's what it is, these postmodern political organizations, which are basically affluent middle class without any sense of real politics. We've got to stop regarding them as in some way radical or we've got to make them radical. And there are many lessons from this, and they should be learned. There were many lessons from the election of Barack Obama, I thought, the complete collapse of the Democratic, any kind of liberalism within the Democratic Party. But on this one, this is a striking lesson, and it must be learned.
And talk about that lesson. I mean, there was so much hope. There we are with that word again. That's a dangerous word, I guess. There was that in the population. This leader was considered courageous. It was almost as if this was choreographed all the way through. Now, I don't want to get paranoid. I don't want to get conspiratorial in a certain sense. But I'm trying to sort of grasp. I mean, and it happened in the open.
Well, yes, it happened in the open because people are pretty good, you know. They give leaders they elect, especially when they elect them to go off and be their champion in a dire situation like this. They give them not only the benefit of the doubt, but they give them a lot of good faith. That's different from hope. They give them good faith, and that can be justified. And it was very complex. I mean, it's really difficult to get your head round what the hell was going on in these endless shuttle trips to Berlin and Brussels and all the rest of it. But to use a plain language, the Greeks were being screwed, you know, and a lot of pirouetting was going on by Alexis Tsipras and his finance minister. But that they were being done over. And at some point, those two, and Prime Minister Tsipras should have been the one, should have turned round to the Greek people and said, this is what's happening to us. I suppose there was a sense of that when he called the referendum. And that's the most shocking side to this, because that's really why I use the term betrayal. People thought he was saying, this is what is happening to us. What do you want us to do to go forward? And they voted overwhelmingly for him to reject the so-called austerity measures. And he did the opposite. And I think it's a growing up time that the political situation across our countries in the West is dire, really, because there is no opposition, and there is very little significant dissent, in my opinion. We need to look to Latin America to find imaginative politics, to find forms of radicalism, forms of change. But in the West, the United States, Europe, and elsewhere, that is not the case. We have single ideology systems with two factions, basically. That's long been the case in the United States, which has led the way. But it wasn't always in Europe. After the war in Europe, the social democratic project was given life by the fact that, by the promise that World War II and all of that would not happen again, and that promise has been betrayed. So We've been distracted. We've been distracted by identity politics. We've been distracted by issues that some people might think are important, but really are distractions. Because this situation in Greece is the main game. It's about having a society where elderly people are not almost 50% in poverty, as is now the case there. Of not having suicides among young people at such a horrifying level, of people, modestly paid people, not getting wages that bring them up to a decent standard of living, and so on and so forth. This is the main game. This is the fight. And it's about time those people who like to call themselves radical, left, progressive, whatever, it's about time they understood that, and that they chuck that word hope out, leave it, let it park it for a while, and got on with real stuff.
Real stuff. Well, that's what we're getting from John Pilger now. John Pilger is an award-winning filmmaker, documentarian, columnist, and really a hero of mine, I must say, with the great film work that you've done in all the toughest spots in the world where people are getting screwed over, just to use some common language as well. You mentioned, John, identity politics. Could you talk a little bit more about how that has been used against the people?
I think we live in we think we live in an information age, but we actually live in a media age. They're different. And so much of the media age is repetitive and manipulative and very powerful. Walk down any street in any, certainly in Europe, certainly in London, and watch people transfixed by that thing in their hand. And so there's a kind of digital slavery as well among people. And so the media age really plays itself through these devices, through all the forms of media that there is now. And it appropriates noble causes. It appropriates feminism, for one thing. I mean, sometimes I get the sense that so much of the issues of feminism are ruled from the media, not from the streets, not from those women who bear the burden so much of inequalities in working life and elsewhere, but are from the media. And the whole idea of identity of politics, that what matters is ourselves, is us, me, me, me.